Have you ever found yourself wondering if drawing, sand play, or board games could hold the key to healing trauma? Today we are joined by Santu Carter, a seasoned trauma expert with over 25 years of experience. In this episode, you will learn the transformative power of play in therapeutic methods, discover how seemingly simple activities can become potent tools, unraveling layers of trauma, and fostering genuine connections. This conversation might just reshape the way you approach personal growth and connecting.
Does your child have a speech-language delay and you really want them to talk? Do difficult behaviors derail home life and you know the frustration is a communication struggle? Does your child see a speech therapist and you wonder, what do they do and how can I help? If these or similar questions are in your mind, this podcast is for you. Hello, my name is Dina Lynn Rosenbusch. I am a speech-language pathologist that has worked with children from birth to 21 for 3 decades. And in my classrooms, I see you wanting to connect with the heart of your child, but their speech and language skills create a barrier. So if you have a kiddo that has difficult behaviors, needs to expand their language or learn to say speech sounds, and maybe even receives speech therapy, stay tuned, because in this podcast, you will learn how to use your daily life as a tool to communication practice and how to do that practice. You will become confident knowing you are making the difference you want to make. And you will hear success stories of parents who have navigated these struggles already. We'll do this all while focusing on building deep, meaningful connection and confidence in your kiddo. So grab a cup of coffee along with a notebook and pen. It's time to speak in the way your child's brain understands. And that is the language of play. Welcome back. I know you're going to love this episode with Santu. She is one of the sweetest, kindest spirits I have ever met. Before we begin listening to Santu, I would like to invite you to go to the show notes and click on the 21 Days of Encouragement. This is 21 emails that I drop into your inbox, but they're very, very short. It is a nugget of thought, followed by a question to ponder. The purpose for this is to give you other strategies and to give you something to think about, most of it in regards to play and how play can impact your world differently. It is my hope that when you read it, you think, oh, I can do that. That will solve this problem. So click in the show notes to receive your free 21 days of encouragement. And if you're getting benefit from this podcast, I'm going to ask you also to share it and leave a review. Thank you for being here today. Today, I have Santu Carter here with me, and she is the founder of Grief Support Services Global. She has over 25 years of combined experience as a registered psychotherapist specializing in trauma and grief, a certified coach, certified grief educator, and she also is an international motivational speaker. Santu works internationally online as a consultant supervisor to therapists and coaches, as well as working directly with families and individuals herself in private practice, using a unique therapeutic spiritual model to empower grieving people through loss from divorce, the dying process, and after-death bereavement. Santu, I appreciate that you are here today with me on the language of play. Today, listeners, I had Santu here because she is able to talk about trauma and how our children respond to trauma and how play is an integral part of the recovery through trauma and what you can do. So, Santu, before we begin, I would like you to quickly help our parents understand what you mean by trauma, because trauma for some people is like this ginormous thing, but for some, it's like little micro traumas over and over that create a bigger problem. So can you tell us what trauma is right from the get-go before we start?
Yeah. So Obviously, I've been thinking about this for a long time and how to define trauma for people to really understand. And I'm going to boil it down to this. It's any experience that someone finds overwhelming and they don't have the appropriate support, the appropriate comfort in the moment that someone might need. And so they're left feeling isolated in that experience. They don't have the resources to overcome, and there's no one around to help them overcome and to say, you know, it's going to be okay, I'm here. There's no hug, there's no communication. And so they're left feeling, in a sense, frozen. And that is one of my definitions of trauma. It's where you feel frozen and unable to move forward, unable to trust people again, because there wasn't that connection, that safety that happened, that comfort that happened after this experience that they felt overwhelmed from. And one of the things that you kind of alluded to is that when people are frozen, they want to be able to loosen up again. Well, they may not want to, but a small part of them realizes that they want to,
They
that
need to.
something's some, yeah, they need to, because we're not islands, right? We can't function on our own. We do need people. But there are people, traumatized people, say, I don't need anyone. I don't need people. I'm happy on my own. But, you know, there's a famous song that says, people who need people, right? It's a Barbra Streisand song. People who need people are the luckiest people because they're free enough to reach out and connect with people. And that really is what life's about.
Thank you. Yes. What I'm hearing is that trauma is when somebody has a bad event of whatever sort, and they're left feeling abandoned and isolated and frozen. Is that what you would say? Okay,
Yeah,
so
exactly.
now if we take that concept and we say, probably all of our parents, I know that's happened to me in my life, and I'm guessing that every listener has had that happen at some point in time in their life. And yet they're functioning okay, we think, you know, like everything is, we do our best. How would you address the parent that is listening to this thinking, well, that was normal in my background?
Do you mean in case they feel blamed, like, or that I didn't mean to do that, to inflict that, or to ignore? Is that what you mean? Or are you talking about the parent where they've experienced a trauma?
Oh.
Oh, like, say, being smacked, for example.
Okay, so I'm saying a listener right now is thinking, I had the experience of being abandoned, isolated, frozen, unable to do anything after X, whatever X was, whether it was an assault, a hit, or worse, whatever it was. They're listening to this thinking, yeah, I did have that experience of being abandoned, isolated, frozen. What do you say to those parents? Because now there's this sudden realization that, oh, gee whiz, I didn't realize that maybe I had trauma.
Yeah, so you're talking about how can they recover in a sense or work through it. And I say that because that is so important to work through, because things leak out of us that is unprocessed. So we could repeat patterns, we could repeat thought processes, we could pass on messages to younger generations or future generations. I know my dad, who was traumatized, would often say to me, don't trust anyone. And I carried that message for such a long time until I realized that is not a helpful mantra for me to carry in life. So it leaked out of him because he didn't process his trauma. For his generation and his culture, it was unheard of to go to a therapist. So ironically, I became a therapist to help people because I understand the importance of working through things and really processing, you know, and it helps build communication. He was withdrawn. He barely talked to us, right? And that affected us as well. And it certainly affected me quite intensely when I was at his bedside as he was dying of cancer. There was unresolved stuff. He could still barely speak to me because he didn't work through his trauma. So, yeah, it
That's,
left a hole.
yeah, I can see how that would leave a hole. Do you think that I'm right to suspect that everybody has some kind of unresolved trauma, or is that not? Yeah, you're nodding. Okay.
Yeah, I would say so. And to various degrees, right? And it just depends, I guess, on the person and whether they're committed to personal development as to whether they work through that or not. Because this, a lot of people will say, it didn't bother me that much. It didn't affect me that much. I'm just going to shove it down and not really think about it much. And instead, they'll have an extra glass of wine or another one or another one, or they'll use other ways to kind of push it down or process it. when really it's, I really see the value of talking things through to really work through what the meaning of it was. Because sometimes people have one narrative of this is what happened, this is the way it was. And a therapist can help people expand that narrative so that there's multiple perspectives as to what could have been going on and what the meaning was for you. There's always multiple narratives and multiple perspectives. And that's what a therapist helps people to expand on. So you're not, again, caught in the trap of one narrative, caught in that frozen mantra. There's other ways of thinking about things.
That's good to know. I think too, and again, just give me your opinion on this. We can go through life, and this one I'm speaking personally now. You know, I went through life raising my kids. I was in survival mode a fair amount because I was a single mom, three children at home with me, and more some other times, you know, when I had other kids. And, you know, so like we would do what we needed to do, and the traumas of the past obviously would have affected me, but I couldn't see it because I am just doing the do. Then, when I started this business, the language of play, I started something conceptually which was against the trauma, like to be able to play, because I grew up and work comes before play. And so I, you know, spent a lot of time not allowing myself to be able to loosen up and play. And I also grew up where it was difficult to communicate about things. And this experience of abandon, isolation, frozen after any kind of verbal conflict was like, that's the way it is. Somebody dumps on you and you're just stuck. And so the language and the play for me are like foundational to this business. But what it did to me was rip open what I didn't realize was there until I started doing this podcast. So I've had to do a lot of personal work through this time. So when I think about parents listening to you right now, I'm imagining that they've got young kids, so they're in the busyness like I was, but something will come and they will be ripped open and then they have to deal with it. Is that common?
Yes, it is. And I think we need to sort of honor how hard it is to be a mother, especially a single mother raising children, right? It's just such a busy time that we may not have as much time to spend on personal development, you know? So let's start with that to begin with. But at some point, there will come a time where you'll realize how significant it is, and you might want to work on it. And it's never too late to work on it. It's never too late to have a talk with your child. It's never too late to forgive or to ask for forgiveness if that is what's necessary. It's not always, but sometimes. And it's never too late to play. So I was talking about it's never too late to communicate, and it's never too late to play. And both of those things is what gets shut down when you're traumatized. And I just love the name and title of your podcast, The Language of Play, because it really is
Me
about
too.
both. The way to recover from trauma is about both. It's about using language to communicate, and it's using play. And once people start to become unfrozen from their trauma, that's when they loosen up, they lighten in spirit, and then the desire to play comes naturally. And let me tell you, I really resonated with what you were saying about, you know, the mantra you had about work comes before play, because that was certainly the mantra my father taught me as well. You always have to work before play. And it took me such a long time and well into my adulthood to understand the value of play and to be able to try and give that to my daughter. She's at the stage where it's not quite too late. You know, she's not quite that sort of 15, 16-year-old where she, you know, she's not interested. She's still interested in play. At the moment, she loves board games. So we will play board games. I mean, there's so many different ways of playing as well that I want your audience members to know.
Yes, there are. And I wanted to say with your daughter, the way I define play, because I have my own definition and I've like gleaned from lots of different professionals that talk about play. And the way I talk about it, I think your daughter would get into, because you get into the language that shows that you're curious, you're exploring together, you're experimenting, trying new things, you're discovering. When you get into that frame of mind and that whole body experience of, I'm just in the zone, I'm with you here now. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't have to be a board game. It can be walking through the woods. It can be noticing the ants on the ground. It can be anything, because when you're in the state of discovery, your words that come out are wonder. And that is the language of play.
Yeah. And I spy with my little eye is not just for 5-year-olds. You could
No.
do that as you're walking through the park with a 36-year-old child as well.
I love it. All right. I want to take a little bit of a turn, and I want to talk about children who have experienced trauma and the role of play. The only thing I have seen and really know is like using drawing or using physical objects that you would like put in a space and have the kids recreate. But that's in a therapeutic setting. I learned that kind of stuff from the school psychologist.
Well, if I may say, it's not necessarily only for the therapeutic space, because those things can happen in the home as well.
Tell
So
us
you
about
can,
that.
yeah, and more, but I'll start with those two that you mentioned. So you can certainly encourage your child to draw and then ask them to tell you what the drawing is about rather than you interpreting what it could be. And who knows, something might come out of that. The other thing you mentioned, and my mind is whirring with lots of other ideas.
What I saw was it was a great big sandbox that.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Sand play.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah. That's what I was going to suggest because it didn't sound like you were talking about sand play, and I wanted to mention that as well. So, a sandbox outside, if you've got one, or the beach, and they can put little figures together. But you can also play online now. There's an online version of sand play.
How does that
So,
work? Because you don't have the sensory feel. And before
no.
we go on with that, I want to say that the way that this person had done sand play was just taking like a tote, a flat, larger tote, and had it on the floor on a tablecloth that was vinyl so that the child could put all the figurines into this little sand box that was movable, coverable, and
Yeah.
indoors.
That will depend on the age of the child, right? So
Of
that will
course.
appeal to certain ages as opposed to others. And I'm trying to think more broadly in case there's audience members that have teenagers as well. So, but I'll start with children as well. So we've got coloring or drawing, we've got sand play, something else that children can do. And I'm going to come back to this idea of a board game because I don't think people realize that playing a board game is a very calming and soothing experience because it takes time. You have to wait for people to take their turn. And so it takes time for people to go around and have their turn. And in that space of when you're waiting for someone to think about the next move, this is typically more for strategy games because then people do need to take time to think, right? So they're slightly better. So you can ask questions and have conversations as things are going around the table of who's next. So I just really want to encourage people to play board games because there's a special energy to that that you don't see in other kinds of games. Certainly things like Lego, building Lego and building like figurines or something, it can be helpful because it's all about the parent asking, what does this say to you? What inspired you to do this? Now, I'm going to move on to like the middle age group, 8 to maybe even 13. Minecraft on video games, Minecraft is in creator mode, is a type of playing games that a lot of parents don't actually go to their children and say, what have you done? Show me your world. Oh, why did you put that there? So again, it's getting curious and getting involved in the worlds that they create in Minecraft or any other video game that they do. And I encourage parents to play some games with their children. And the children are so pleased that their parents are taking an interest in their
Absolutely.
games. It's a great bonding experience. Even if you're not like totally into video games or interested, like just sit beside them. And you can even be honest and say, I may not be watching everything you do, but I do enjoy being here with you and watching you play games or, just playing games and just us being side by side and doing our own thing is a lovely bonding experience, and I'm really enjoying it.
With Minecraft, I've seen some creations that kids have made, but I don't like video games. I'm not that person that likes to sit still and watch the screen. Yet I have plenty of people in my life that love it. And so I want to highlight what you say there because it is tempting to let the video games be a babysitter for a time and then we say come back to reality. But for our kids, and for us sometimes too, our imagination is our reality too.
Yes,
It is
absolutely.
another aspect of us. And when
Absolutely.
we get good at asking questions, when we get good at tell me more, I want to be understanding this, or like you said, you gave two very good questions. What does this say to you? what does this mean, or what inspired you? And when I saw this other game that I saw recently and they talked about it, there was some of the bullies from school were in the game. And I had not known that this child had experienced some bullying until he explained to me what was in his game. And I just asked him, why'd you name that character that? And then I said, oh, but that character looks grumpy. Is that friend grumpy? Oh, he's not a friend. I started to learn and go deeper just because I asked the questions and asked in a way that was just open, curious, just discover what else is under that.
Absolutely.
So I honestly didn't ever, even though I had that experience, it never occurred to me that that was like a therapeutic thing until you're saying this now. And here I was in it.
Yes, absolutely. And I want to point out something else, that you played with language. And that playful language of openness and curiosity is the name of your podcast in another way, from another perspective, the language of play and the play of language to get curious and to pull out more information that they're hiding from you, that they feel uncomfortable talking about with you. So it's good to play with language as well.
Oh, this is so good for my families to hear. I think my biggest takeaway is that you said communication plus play is the way to recover from trauma. Yeah. And what we have talked about is learning how to ask the questions to dig deeper so that kids express it. They start to talk about it.
And I want to add something, not in an interrogative way, not in a demanding way. You can't demand that they answer your questions because you demand to know. There is a safety level involved in being vulnerable and disclosing stuff. So that's why doing it gently with curiosity, openness, in a non-demanding way, in a non-anxious way, is crucial. And if they don't answer in that moment, leave it and then come back to it another time. Try a different question, try it in a different way, a different circumstance, a different scenario. Try asking it while you're playing a board game. So in different scenarios, because they need to be comfortable first. So if they're comfortable in one particular room and not another, then go when they're in that room, that comfortable room. So, yeah. And I just want to say communication play is not the only way, but those are fundamental ways to recover from trauma. There's other ways as well, but that's for another podcast.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here, Santu. I am so glad to have met you, and I'm so glad to present you to my listeners.
Oh, pleasure. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Hey parents, I hope you found this episode helpful. If so, would you please take 30 seconds and share it with a friend who also lives or works with children? I would really appreciate it if you would leave a quick review for the show on Apple Podcasts. I read every review and it lights me up to know that this show is making a difference. Then come join my Facebook community, where you'll meet other parents who are dedicated to helping their children grow too. You'll find the link in the show notes. Thank you for joining me. Now it's time to go. Let's pop our kiddos in the strollers and go look around outdoors and see what we have to talk about.